If you're investing your money in Bitcoin and learning about it, you're going to learn about proof of work and time preference. So only things you really need to. Everything else will come into your life naturally, or you'll be able to make it happen. A lot of people say you have to make it happen. You have to start now. Put your foot down. Do what you want to do. Fix your relationship. Fix this. If you're not mentally ready to do that and understanding of the world and how it works and you're stuck in a fiat mind, you won't be able to do what you want. It just won't happen.
All right. And we are live, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today for another conversation with a friend from the Bitcoin verse. And today we have a really special one. This is a new youngest guest we've ever had on. This is Gen Z for BTC. He's 15 years old, which is just super cool. And I've been talking about this for a while, how we really need to bring this Bitcoin content to the younger audiences. And I think that this is a perfect way to do it. So Ben, really appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
Yeah. So I would love to hear your Bitcoin story. I know that your mom played a really big part in it, and you've been going through this sort of on the side of your normal, I guess we could call it fiat life, your regular life that you're into, just like we all do. It's kind of this new thing that comes in the side. So could you give us the breakdown of how that actually happened?
Yeah, so it started whenever I was probably like 13, and I was watching TikToks and stuff. And I kind of got an idea that I wanted to be successful when I grew up. And I had zero clue how. I was so young, just getting into middle school, like 7th grade, something like that. And I really didn't know what I wanted. But I was like, that was my first kind of idea of what I wanted, was to be successful and not have to live a hard life. Like, as hard as in, I mean, like, working every single day to be able to just afford dinner. I wasn't really looking to do that. I wanted to figure out a way how I would be able to do that. And then my mom is a single mom. She's worked like all of my life very hard to put food on the table for me and my brother and have a roof over my head, which I'm super grateful for. But she works very hard. And I've noticed, and she always says, groceries are getting so expensive. No more candy, no more like Pop-Tarts or whatever. And I always like kind of wonder why, if you're doing the same stuff and you're getting the same clients. She cuts hair. She's a hairstylist. I was wondering, why is stuff getting so expensive? And she would say, inflation. And I'd be like, cool. I don't really know what that is. Don't really care. I'm young. And then I would go hang out with my friends at the mall and would be like chilling with them. And we would walk into like a shoe store in the mall. And they would see a nice pair of Jordans and be like, oh, I like these. They would call their mom, can I buy these? Take a picture, get sent $400, swipe the card, new pair of shoes I walk out the mall with. And I'm like, that's crazy. How can they do that? How can they waste all that money on shoes? They're going to buy new ones in like a month or two. And they're going to grow out of them too. Like, that was when I was in middle school. I wasn't even high school. And that's when I realized some people have it differently than other people, even if they don't work as hard as other people do. And at that time, as I was maturing more, I have done wrestling since the 6th grade and I've playing football since the 7th grade, tackle football. So I've been learning proof of work without even realizing it, just by playing those really hard sports like wrestling is a whole lifestyle. It's my first year not doing it this year, but I can get into that later. But after doing that and kind of just developing as a person, I kept learning and learning about proof of work before I even knew what that word was. And one time my mom told me, hey, Ben, come look at what's happening. And I was looking at the screen and it was about the Canada trucking event that happened in, I think it was 2020, 2021 during COVID. I don't remember the exact year. And she was like, she was telling me how crazy it was that they were taking away their rights by making them get the vaccine or whatever. I don't like actually even know all the facts. I just remember being mind blown that they can get forced to have that happen on them by their government. And then over time, my mom got into Bitcoin. I think it was like 21 or 22. I don't want to. The dates are probably wrong, but around there.
The last 5 years have been a blur for us all.
Yeah. Especially for me. I'm so young. I came into middle school wearing masks on my face. Next thing you know, middle school is over. It's high school now, and everything still costs even more than it did before. And that's really all I got out of it. I mean, I've learned a lot of stuff growing. But yeah, and then my mom was into it and realized that it could help her. Like, really help her preserve her wealth that she works for and not get devaluated every single year. so much. And she would always tell me, hey, Ben, come out here, look at this, look at that. Because she kind of knew I wanted to be successful, but, like, she can't push a little kid to, like, go learn and read. But eventually, I watched one or two videos, and, like, it kind of clicked for me that this is, like, more than an investment. Like, it's more than just Dogecoin or one of those NFTs that were out, because I would hear about those, and my mom would be like, instead of playing those games, why don't you go play a game that makes you cryptocurrency? And that was back when she even was trying to do some crypto, whatever, like all the new people did. Now we're both just Bitcoiners only. And I was just learning about it and learning about it. I got even more interested, started reading books, and then I was like fully hooked on it at such a young age. I was like, realized that this could really help me in later in life. Like, I had no money to put in either. It's not like I'm able to make millions of dollars off of it. I was 13 or 14 with like an extra $100 I would get for my birthday, and I would just stack it all in and trying to start to grow an account up to like maybe 0.0001 Bitcoin. And that would be the goal. And then I would just keep setting goals higher and higher and keep learning and talking and meeting new people. And then I realized it's just so much more, and it's creating a healthy lifestyle for everybody around the world. It's helping people that are not as fortunate as I am to live in a nice country like I live in. And there's people that have it way worse that are using it to help them a lot more. And I just kind of learned the capability of it, and that I can be a part of it and help other people learn and try to help my classmates learn. We can talk about that. It doesn't go too well, but I can try, which is the most I can do, which will make me feel better as a person. So I just kind of fell in love with the idea that I can help others, help myself, and create a better life around my whole social circle.
That's really great, man. Super cool story. And man, there's a lot of places we could go there. My first question would be, you said that you started watching videos and reading books on Bitcoin, and I'm curious which ones resonated the most with you. Are there any specific videos, podcasts, books that really just left an imprint on your mind and just thought, this, you know, this makes sense to me. This is why I need to understand Bitcoin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I think my first Bitcoin book was The Bitcoin Standard. Before I read any Bitcoin books, I forgot to mention this, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, probably about like 3/4 of the book. All the juicy parts are in the first half if you haven't read it before, so it gets kind of boring for a kid after. But I read that first, and then it was like just kind of learning that some people work the system a lot more than other people do. And that was my first kind of idea of how corrupt it is, of like what part or how close you are to the money faucet. And then the Bitcoin books helped me understand probably more economics and like the history of money, so I can understand how it is now, because I need to kind of like be able to see stuff out in my brain. I'm not very good with like seeing a few words and understanding it. Like, that's what I have those problems in schools too. While I'm in reading and writing, I do better with like kind of slowly soaking it in, but once it's in, like, I understand everything. That's how I am with math. I love math and science most of the time, but I don't like reading or writing. I like history sometimes if it's something I'm interested in. But yeah, I've just been learning I've watched a video by Ray Dalio. I forgot the name of it. It was so long ago now. It was an animated, like, hour-long movie, basically. And it explained how we got off the gold standard and why Bitcoin has a chance to get to, like, a million or something crazy. Like, it was just explaining some stuff and how it could play a role. And the animated stuff in the videos made a really big difference in how I thought of it and helped me understand it. Like, I still see everything as, like, transaction numbers and, like, graphs and stuff. When I think of it in my brain or when I'm trying to explain it to somebody, I use my hands and I'll be like, it's coming from here to there. And it's just a, like, numerical value, and I try to help explain it like that. But those videos help me a lot if I can visualize it by like animating on a screen. Other books I've read a few. I'm gonna need to grab them. I have a few back here.
Yeah, the Bitcoin Standard. Just the fact that the Bitcoin Standard is one of your first ones. That's how you get started on the right foot.
yeah, that was my first one. My mom bought it for me, or she already had awesome. One. She bought another one for me. I'd bring it to school. I'd get made fun of a lot. Like, joking around, made fun of by the football team.
Because I would reading sit during the lunch book.
Reading a book. Wow. The football team does not read books normally.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we'll definitely get into that a little bit later, how, you know, just the average kid at school this is just a whole different world, and most of them aren't ready for it. But
yeah,
kudos to you for just taking a dive and going for it anyway. And a couple of things there. One, Rich Dad Poor Dad, that was also one of my preliminary books. I remember I read that before I really started getting into Bitcoin. I think I was still in my crypto phase when I read that one. And that may have been one of the building blocks to realizing, okay, I need to, you know, be thinking about this differently. I love the just the assets versus liabilities analogy, you know, just you're talking about the friend buying the $400 pair of Jordans that just is going to lose value over time. And, you know, people spend so much money on things that just deteriorate when
they spend so much money they don't have to spend.
Like, yes.
They credits. Didn't make $400 in their whole life, basically, as a kid. I mean, it's their parents' money, but still, it's the idea that they think that's normal. And as soon as they graduate from high school and go into college, they're going to be like so screwed. Like, people are going to have to start living in group homes and stuff. But we can talk about that later. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, just this, you know, huge expansion of the credit system where people just swipe a card everywhere. It just doesn't feel real that you're spending money. So it just removes all friction there for people to just spend away. Mm-hmm. And that definitely has a mental aspect to it. And as I'm sure you'd agree, Bitcoin changes that. It feels like gold, you know. We use this analogy a lot that Bitcoin is like digital gold. And when you had a bag of gold coins, it felt really real when you would spend out on something because it clearly has that just beautiful intrinsic value to it that you know this is a valuable metal. And Bitcoin is the same. It's obviously not physical, but it has so many of the same traits that it hurts. It's painful to spend your Bitcoin. Like whenever I bought things with Bitcoin before and it hurts a little bit, you know, but I think this is a really good thing because it gets people to really think about what they're spending and they start spending wisely on things that are actually important to them, you know? And like some people out there think, oh, like this will never be a medium of exchange because it's too valuable. People don't want to spend it. Well, I wouldn't go that far either. I would say in the future, after Bitcoin has gone through its development and its maturity, it will even out. It's not going to, you know, have it bazillion X potential, you know, forever. Like right now, we all think there's going to be many more zeros on it in fiat terms. But once it evens out, then it's going to flatten. There's going to be less upside potential and people will be more willing to spend it. So all of these things come together to really make it work. And I looked up the Ray Dalio video I think you're talking about. It's the How the Economic Machine Works. Is that the one you're referring to?
Maybe. I'm gonna be honest, like, I know it sucks that I don't remember it. I'm sorry. I can check it, but I can't load up my computer right now.
I just pulled it up and it's 41 million views. That's one of his really
it's
big
probably
ones.
That so one, then.
Yeah, and probably principles for dealing with the changing world order. He has a bunch of really big ones, but
yeah, I think it was that one, the changing world order one.
Okay.
I think it was that one.
Yeah, I'll throw those in the show notes for people to check out. But very interesting and very visual, like you said. I'm the same way. I'm very visual. So when I see things laid out visually, that sticks better in my brain. Do you think most of your generation is the same way? Do you get a sense for how people are learning differently? Do you think visual is the way forward?
Yeah, I talk about that a lot because I'm in school still. Nobody has speakers on that are still in the American high school education system. And I am, so I can give a little bit of an insight on it. I feel like we're doing a lot of work on the computers now. I'm like lucky in my spot. Oh, my cat just jumped on the table. I'm pretty lucky.
They can come into frame. Get them in here.
Can we knock everything over?
This is a podcast for all friends. Yes.
It's very meowing friends around as well. Everywhere. It's a very strange cat. Okay, no, he's going to knock over my mug. Yeah, I've been... Like, what was I saying? The cat distracted me.
How your generation learns visually.
Yeah. My generation learns a lot by getting dopamine releases. I've noticed that. I'm a gamer. You were a gamer at one point. When you do stuff,
I think once you're a gamer, you're always a gamer. I just have it on the back
burner.
Like Bitcoin's my new game.
Think of life as a simulator, kind of like a game. Like you do this, you get this in return. You level up mentally. We can talk about that, but I feel people kind of have that idea of stuff, and school can put it in that way. Sort of with the grade point system of how you get A, B, C, and it's graded off the percent off of how well you do. So some people like that a little bit and can take advantage of that, but it really depends on the school you go to and what type of work they give. My school does this a lot of stuff on the computers, which can suck because they'll just put bulk work out. And people definitely learn a lot with like the images they see, the noises they hear, or the stories that get told is a big one. if there's a story told with math, like my math teacher last year was really good with that. He would tell a story, whether it's made up or not. He would tell us at the end some random story and would kind of tie it into the lesson. And then he could go back a week later and say, remember that story I told? That's the day we learned about this. That's what that is. And then people would be like, oh, yeah, I remember that crazy story about you falling down a mountain or something like that while skiing. Because he was a little bit older of a teacher, but I noticed that helped a lot. And just giving us stuff to visualize. Like, imagine visualizing your, like, math teacher who's a little bit older falling down a mountain while skiing. And then you learn the lesson the next second, and he kind of ties it in somehow or something random that makes everybody laugh. If you can visualize that, and then you'll remember it a lot better. It creates kind of like emotional response, and it helps you remember that. And a lot of times people like to hear stuff. I just feel like just the reading books and like getting yelled at, learn this, learn that, doesn't help at all. I want to stay away from it. Like, I know reading, I don't actually like reading at all. I'll do it to learn. I enjoy learning. I would rather learn so many other ways, but until the more ways come out, the most informations are in the book. So I'll still do it. It's beneficial, but I would pick other ways. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, you may end up like me. I'm not sure. But for me, I never really enjoyed reading while I was in school because mm-hmm. I always had that conditioning that this is homework, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know many other people in my age, and I'm 30 right now, so exactly double your age when I was in school. So as soon as I got out of school, and maybe, I would say, maybe just a couple years passed, to be honest, and I just mm-hmm. had a natural curiosity about books, and I just started getting a natural curiosity for learning. And mm-hmm. it sounds like for you, it's happened much earlier, thanks to your mom helping you out and really getting you mm-hmm. able in the right direction, which she deserves major kudos for that. I didn't really have any extra bandwidth when I was in school, and you know, there are a lot of different reasons for that. Diet was a factor. My diet wasn't great. I just wasn't in a situation where it was really encouraged either. And mm-hmm. also Bitcoin wasn't really around for most of it, or at least not nearly to the point where it was today. Maybe if that would have popped up in a different dimension, then it would have happened. But the fact that it has come in now and Bitcoin is there, I think that it's such a powerful lifter of consciousness and intellect in so many different fields that the more people we can push over to that direction, the better, or just guide, mm-hmm. guide them.
Help guide them. That's the word. People mm-hmm. will take it once they need it. That's a good way to explain it. And you know the phrase, people get Bitcoin when they deserve it?
Yep.
I like that phrase for everybody above the age of 25. But then for everybody that's my age and like in college, they don't get it when they deserve it. It's going to be pretty late when they get it. It can still help them, but that's what I like to push towards is help them get help if they need it, because everybody's going to need it eventually. That's my age, unless they have extremely, extremely wealthy parents that can fund their whole life. They're going to need something to get them away from the U.S. dollar, or unless they change it somehow dramatically, which they won't. It's not possible. I like the numbers. Like, I like to see the numbers of the inflationary system and see how it's impossible for it to get reversed. Like, it's just impossible. So once you see that, I don't know how anybody couldn't buy Bitcoin. Like, I can say that to somebody and show them the charts. I don't know the exact numbers, obviously. I'm not like a complete math nerd, but I can show like some of my friends' parents when I talk to them about it. And they'll still be like, Bitcoin's a scam, stay away from it. And I'll just be like, wow of how they can say that. And I don't argue with them because like, it's disrespectful, but you get what I mean, right? And then kids are going to definitely notice the difference when they're older. And they look at me and they'll be like, I remember that kid. He was telling me to get this. Now it's worth this much. Now everybody has it. Now 50% of companies with a net worth of over $1 million has it and owns it in their stock portfolio. Like, it's going to be pretty crazy. But then it's not going to be the kid's fault when they don't have it. It's going to be their parents' fault or just the fault of the education system saying that everything's going to be all right when it's not. Like, trying to push kids to go to college, trying to push them to getting a lot of debt when they don't really know what they want to do. Like, I know it's normal to go to college when you graduate, so you'll be 18 years old. Most people are. I'll graduate when I'm 17, but most people are going to be 17 and 19 years old. Still a kid if you're underneath 20, like my mom says. But they are going to be forced to make a decision to go in debt for probably in 5 years. It's going to be like $500,000 for like a big university or something crazy like that. Like, if you want to go to a big university, it's going to be double than it is now in 5 years. And they're going to be put into debt for like so much time of their life. And if they're not ready to make that decision to be a doctor or to be a lawyer, whatever they're getting forced to profession into, they're going to regret it really bad. It's going to be like a big issue, and people are stuck in debt by so much and like enslaved by their currency, kind of whatever they're using.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's so well said. I couldn't have said it better myself. And this debt problem is, as more people learn about what it is and how inflation plays a part, it's a runaway freight train right now. It's not going to get any better. Mm-hmm. And we just need to focus on helping people find Bitcoin, which is a lifeboat, you know? And you know, there are certain people that are always going to try to change the system and try to fix the fiat system. I personally think it's too late for that. We need to create the next solution that's going to help bring people up from a grassroots level. And I thought of another video series that was amazing for me. I'm not sure if you've heard of this. Have you heard of Mike Maloney by chance?
I've heard of it. I've definitely heard of the Maloney name, but I don't remember it. I'm not connecting any dots.
I'm going to recommend his YouTube channel. He has a series called The Hidden Secrets of Money. The Hidden Secrets of Money series. And that was, for me, my biggest orange pilling moment. This was during 2020 when I found this. And it's extremely visual. It basically walks through the history of money, similar to the Bitcoin standard does. Now, the conclusion that Mike Maloney comes to is that gold is the winner, which we obviously disagree on. But he is the best at explaining the fiat problem, the fiat currency problem, and how debt is just going to continue to build up and inflation will continue to get worse, and why people need to learn about sound money. And so I definitely would recommend that to folks your age as well, because he does a really good job laying it out very simply. And yeah, man, it's just so important to help people understand. And one of the things that you were talking about as well is how, you know, the competitiveness and this gamingness that we have in our brains, a lot of us young guys, especially boys, you know, young boys, we just like, there's like a gamer gene in our brain. We love the points on the screen. We love, you know, the dopamine hits, like you said. It's just kind of ingrained in us. And I remember when I was in school, probably your exact age, I was super competitive in math. And I wouldn't even say I was really a natural at math, but I was so competitive, and we had things were set up in a way where you could, you know, accelerate your course if you were doing better than everyone else and just kind of keep going. And so I was just like, I want to be the number one. I want to be number one. So I was just grinding through it. And I guess the question that I would have for you is, how do we angle that sort of competitive passion and the gamer mentality over toward learning about things that are actually important for people's future, like Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think about that a lot, because like that would make stuff so much easier. It's like more of a straight path, almost a straight path, like kind of a guided path. There's a lot of things you could do. Like, I've thought about making some type of website that is a game. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Duolingo or...
Oh, yeah, like, definitely.
You know how they have points, and if you learn a lesson, it can make learning a language a lot more fun. Learning a whole new language is going to be pretty hard to do to, like, a kid, but they can make it happen. I think we could scale that up, which I do not have the coding, like, capability to do this, but eventually maybe it's going to be possible that you could have some type of app that can help you be more healthy. And it can kind of guide to whatever you need to, because whatever you need, you'll go there wanting it. Like, if you want to be in shape, it can help you get in shape by guiding the way you think. And then it can all tie back to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's going to be the best until it's not, which really there's no chance for it not to be. Right now it's the best we have to help you with everything, because it's not using the dollars. So it could tie back to that, like, factually, like, not an opinion. Like, it'll tie back everything to how Bitcoin will help, whether it's just proof of work. Like, everybody says proof of work, but it's really a lot more complicated than that. Like, I would always hear that one Bitcoin will always equal one Bitcoin or proof of work. I didn't even understand it until, like, 6 months into my rabbit hole journey. I didn't fully understand it, and it takes me way too long to try to explain. Like, it's still hard for me to even pull the words out to, like, proof of work and one Bitcoin will always equal one Bitcoin, because it's like a whole other dimension of thinking compared to the normal fiat way. So, like, I think it's going to be important for kids to learn that, because they're going to need it. So I think if we could implement some type of gaming dopamine system into learning, that could help a lot. I've thought of that for sure. And how you could possibly do that would be like making some type of app and just like, yeah, like having like lessons up or a way of like a self checklist and like even like rewarding sats, or you could like do stuff with friends, join a group, and then there's like a jackpot. If you can do the most amount of something, then you get this much sats. Now that it's so easy to transfer sats back and forth, you could make it actually rewarding, and like you could get maybe $1 worth of stuff if a week of work, but like you'll still see that and know that you earn that yourself. I mean, there's always ways to scale that and be more competitive. Like, I feel like there's a lot of potential to use Bitcoin and Lightning to do that and gamify it using actual like real currency. Like, I know on the like Fortnite or online, you can play cards with people online, or a fake gamble, which is like can play poker or something on the VR. I know I used to do that all the time. It's not real, like it has no connection to real money, but it still feels real when you like win all of that. By I mean, gambling is bad, I'm not pushing towards it, but I'm like telling you how it feels real, and Bitcoin has the potential to make it real. So if you input, like if you put that into something that's not gambling and learning, or even gambling and learning, it's better than not learning at all, then I feel like that could help a lot and could like serve a purpose with helping younger people, like because we always have our phones on us. You get what I mean by that? Like some type of gamification, and then you could use the crypto Bitcoin to be able to transfer around, or even maybe, I'm not a fan of it, but like if you could have a crypto for that game or app to use, then that could also be cool. I'm not biggest fan. I don't use crypto. I don't use that word at all normally, but you get what I mean though, right? It could still
It at
possibly
least
help.
gets them in the mindset of earning
Yeah, it
something
gets
that's
them in the
more
mindset.
real than, the old Call of Duty points back when I was in my gaming days. You get the COD points, which is just
Yeah.
like a nothing coin,
Or a level up. Or a level up. That's a big difference too. Leveling up in a game feels so amazing. I just hit level 92 on my character, whatever. I don't even want to say how many hours that took. Probably like 90
You can
hours
share
over the
with me.
grass.
I've been there. I
Yeah.
remember looking at my time played
Yeah, so I
stats.
finally got it. I like jumped off my chair and I was like, yes. And then I thought for a minute, because my mom was like, Ben, shut up. And I thought for a minute, what happens if I put all that work into like working and providing value to somebody else, and then I gotta keep all that value? So there's no super easy way for us to do that, but I feel like with Bitcoin, there's gonna be a chance, like a lot easier ways for you to provide value to other people. Like when I go outside and knock on people's doors to mow their lawn, I live in a somewhat nice neighborhood. I don't live in a humongous house, but I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. And people have all their lawns getting mowed by a company already, so I can't do that. I've been trying to start a pooper scooping business around my area. Has been going, if I'm gonna be honest, not too well. It's kind of hard to find the people, but I'm gonna keep pushing on that. A pooper scooping business, you scoop somebody else's dog poop up, and some people call me crazy. Like the kids at school are like, nobody's gonna pay you to do that. But that's what people said about house cleaning and lawn mowing, but now it's like one of the biggest profit margin businesses ever is lawn care, and that's what I've been pushing to do. But yeah, I feel like Bitcoin is gonna help people be able to like even work on your phone. Like you're gonna be able to do like chores for other people, and it could be gamified, and you could actually start spreading value easier with how easy it is to transfer it. Like you can't do that with real money. It's so hard to wire money back and forth to people. It's like stupid hard. Like I feel like even playing games is gonna be money moving around. Like in the game I play, people break the rules and they'll spend real money and trade the currency with other people. Because the game I play has a whole market. You trade your gear and stuff with currency in the game. It's not worth any real money, but like if you get the most valuable item, it sells for $700 in real money. And you can just sell it to somebody. And like I feel like it's gonna be pretty easy in the next 10 years for it to be switched over using Bitcoin. You get what I mean? And then the
Oh,
new
absolutely.
technologies will help learning. Yeah, that's it. I yap a lot. I'm sorry.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, let it ride, baby. I love it. In back in my day, I'm not sure if this is still a big game, but World of Warcraft was really popular when I was in school. And I never even played it myself, but I had friends in school who were obsessed with it, and they were at the level where they were leveling up these characters and, like you said, selling them for real money when they got them to a certain level. So this was sort of a one of those early examples of a gaming business, monetizing gaming. And, I really think that, like you said, there's such an easy on-ramp for people if Bitcoin is just implemented into the games that are already out there, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of us Bitcoiners have been wondering, you know, when are they going to do this? Is it going to be the new GTA game? Are they going to add Bitcoin? Because so many people play that and there's so much like monetary exchange involved. And Fortnite, you mentioned, there's a ton of monetary exchange involved in that as well. There's all these skins and things that you can buy. So it's just, it seems like it has to be a matter of time before one of these gaming studios, similarly to, you know, Michael Saylor at MicroStrategy or Nayib Bukele in El Salvador, one of these gaming companies has to be the first one that just takes a risk and just goes for it, you know, and takes the short-term loss, perhaps. And, you know, I don't even know the economics so well, but I mean, there has to be a reason why none of these businesses do it, because they want to keep all of your spending in-house. They want to keep it with their own altcoin, their own like in-game currency.
They're running their own government, basically. Yeah, and really, it's not even government, considering most of the time, like once you pay for their currency, it never comes back off. If you used Bitcoin, there has to be some way to get it on and off. But with that being said, that's when they could just take, like, they wouldn't be stealing people's money. It would just be pure fees, and that's how they make all their money. But, like, you know, Steam. Have you heard of Steam before? That's a pretty big thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their points, like, they use a lot, and they have, like, ways you can earn some or get, like, bonuses. And I feel like they could somehow do that. Like, I know when FTX wasn't nothing, I used to watch Apex Legends gameplay a lot, and I would play that a lot. And they were sponsored. A few of the teams, the professional teams, were sponsored by that. And that was their first kind of a little bit of crypto inning. I know that went terrible because that was crypto, not Bitcoin. There's a big difference. And that's how everybody found out the rough way. When they no longer had FTX in front of their usernames, I found out that way. I was like, huh, I wonder why the FTX isn't there anymore. And that was pretty funny. But yeah, I think there's going to be a big way. And it's going to all come in really quick over the next 20 years. Maybe not even like 10 years. People are just going to start realizing it's more than nothing. Like, most people and most companies are afraid, too, to go away from fiat. That's what they've had. And they're working right now. They're making money. Why would they switch it? They don't have a need. But once new gaming companies come out and they do need a way to compete with other companies, they're probably going to be the ones that switch to it. Then the other companies are going to jump on it, too, obviously. But it's going to take a few, like, people to fail doing it before the big ones go on. That's how it always works.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone's going to have to break the door down. And, you know, I don't even know if it would fail at this point. Like, usually you think the first mover is going to be tanking a bunch of damage. And, you know, the next people behind them will be the ones that really succeed. But, man, this thing's been cooking under the surface for so long. Part of me thinks, man, if someone just takes that risk and goes for it, it could be a huge success, too. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think it necessarily needs to be a failure the first time, because it's such a natural meshing, you know, that just all they're doing is replacing their altcoin or their, you know, their in-game currency with real currency. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, it's not a major move like El Salvador going on the Bitcoin standard. That's a major societal shift. This is just changing the game currency. And it's such a natural transition.
I understand what you're saying. It's so natural to us, but think about all their investors and all their player base.
Yeah.
If their player base doesn't like it, they don't have a player base anymore. The difference with the Salvador thing is if their citizens didn't like it, they didn't really have a choice. They're still using the better thing. But when the player base doesn't like it, it's pretty easy to press close on the window and open up the next game and start playing. That's what I mean by the risk. If it, like, and then they lose money and then they go bankrupt. Games don't have that much, like, actual investments. Like, people don't, there's no investments that go into the games. Like, people don't invest in the games. People may invest in the game company, like Epic Games owns Fortnite, but whenever they make a new game, people don't invest in that game usually. Like, it's not really how it works. So if that game goes bad, all the money they put into the graphics designing and stuff goes down the drain. That part is like the kind of risk, and that can apply to everything else too. Opening Bitcoin companies, I mean, there's different with companies because you can get investments and then you're actually like getting a return on your money. But the gaming stuff, that's gonna be a little bit, that's why it's a little bit rougher, because everybody has to like it for it to work.
Play it's a prediction, dude. When do you think we're going to see the first Bitcoin integration into a video game and into like a big studio into video game? When do you think it's gonna happen?
Big game, because I know people have little games right now, little ones that have like 20 people playing or something like that, but a big one, I'm gonna give it 3 years, maybe two or three. Because
you gotta pick 1 year. You go with 3 years?
2 years.
Okay. I'll go with three then.
26, around there.
26?
I feel like it's going to happen, and people are going to be buying either they're going to be buying the currency, and then they're going to own that currency, and that's going to be worth something like a real crypto, or they're going to be buying Bitcoin through a game, which is going to be crazy. It's not going to be called Bitcoin, but it's like, think about like the gold standard, right? I feel like it's going to be like a Bitcoin standard on a game. Everything's going to be traded through. I think that could be pretty cool. And then like the base to play, if you find cool stuff, could be traded through that. But it's enough games. But yeah, I think there's a lot of potential in the gaming selection, like the community, and then the kids that all play it. That could play a big role with education too. Like you learn your real proof of work. It's still a waste of time. Anything that you're sitting on a screen is technically a waste of time, but whatever makes you happy makes you happy. If you're enjoying it and you're learning a little bit, that's a plus.
I don't even know if I would say that you're always wasting time when on a screen, like even if you're just playing games, because this is where Bitcoin gets exciting, because you know, do I think that there may be more productive things to do in the world than play video games? Of course, but at the same time, if there is monetary value linked to it, personally, and I've said this before, I basically retired from gaming, you know, years ago, when the last time I was really playing was in college, when me and my roommate would play Madden or Mortal Kombat to decide who had to clean the room that day. Since then, I've sort of gone off to do other things, and Bitcoin has become my new game. You know, it's like, this is, the whole world has now become a game because you're following the whole economic system. But if there were to be a Bitcoin integration into gaming, and hey, you know, it doesn't even have to be on the games themselves. There are even streaming services that are now using Bitcoin where people can send sats to each other. Zap.stream is one is doing that on Nostr. I see people post on Nostr that they're playing a game and they're streaming. So you can go watch them stream just like, you know, Twitch does, and you can send them Bitcoin. So it's already starting to happen. But just when there is a way to actually earn real value for this, I think that completely changes the mindset for me, where I might pick the controller back up and go back and play some Battlefield with some friends, you know, just like go on Nostr and say, hey, let's all play some games, and I'm going to beat you all and take your sats. Let's go. And it just, it has a real value attached to it. And I think that is much less of a time wasting factor. Whereas, you know, back in the day when I would just be up till 3 a.m. playing zombies with my buddies, you're not like, I would say I don't regret those days. I definitely don't look back at it and wish I would have, you know, done all these other things, because I had a really good time socializing with my friends through that. You know, it's a really good way that, you know, typically boys socialize and connect and grow together is by playing games and learning teamwork. And, you know, I would even say that those roots probably helped me to where I am now, being really competitive and really dedicated and really persistent to win on these things. I've just been able to apply that to different things. So explain how that's applied to you as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot. When I used to play the FPS games, which is like probably like, I've only been playing the game, I've been playing now for a year, I would like do hours of research on how to get better, how to be able to aim better with your hand, like how to place your hand in the best way on your mouse to like win and be able to aim the best. A lot of it was like placing your little character using your keyboard in the right spot in the game with all the other people to be able to win the game. It helped me learn how to learn. Like, I would try to soak in so much information. Like, you'd have to learn the whole entire map. It's crazy. Like you could probably remember the zombies maps that you played 15 years ago in your head. I know you do, too.
I could. If you put me in that Kino Durtoten building from Zombies from Black Ops, I could literally just walk through it with my eyes closed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we learned all that so well because the game was setting off those emotional stuff. Whether you're giggling, laughing with your friends, or whether you're screaming, raging because you died, you're still going to remember whatever happened, and you're going to remember it, like, happily because it was something that happened. Like, it's good to remember something that happens, whether it's good or bad. Whether it is then to remember nothing. You get what I mean? Like, something is better than nothing. You have to live life by that. And then you have to take risks to have that something. Yeah, I agree. I don't think gaming is a waste of time. I mis-said that. I meant, like, most, like, all your parents are going to be like, it's a waste of time. And there's other stuff you could be doing, but it's kind of, like, up to you and how healthy you are, too. Like, you could be somebody that is depressed playing games if you're using it to do something when you should be doing something else. it's bad. But if you're using it just to genuinely enjoy your time when you have extra time, that's pretty beneficial. Like Elon Musk, he just streamed the other day during break while he was on an airplane. He was streaming using his tower satellite thingies, whatever they're called, playing the game that I play. And everybody was like, that is so crazy. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think gaming is like kind of, like, this sounds so crazy that me and, like, I'm glad that me and you can connect on this, because my mom would call me crazy. Say it's a waste of time. Go outside and mow the lawn. It really can help you learn, like, how you create your own, like, dimension. You create your own realm in your own head. Everybody lives their own life. You don't have to live by the government. You don't have to live by your teacher. And the setup is you don't have to live by your parents either. You have to respect what they say, but you can live your own dimension. Like, if you're living in a fake dimension on your game and you're enjoying your life and you're healthy enough to provide for your family and other people, keep at it. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. You just got to find your inner peace, or whether that's playing games or going outside. Like, either or. And yeah, gaming with Bitcoin is going to, I feel like, make people be a lot more into that and providing service for other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And time usage is just a spectrum, and it's not, there is no black and white for, you know, this is time well spent and this is time badly spent. You know, if, and you have it exactly right. You just need to learn yourself and learn how your own brain works and realize, like, what am I using this for? And there are a lot of other, mm-hmm. you know, different similar things out there where some people could use a certain activity as a escape from their life, or they could use it as an enhancer for their life. And mm-hmm. this is just another one. You know, it's, if you're using it to just escape reality and you're like, you need to get away, and like you said, your mental health is hurting, and so you're using that to like get out of it, I think that is the situation where you may want to look at things a little bit differently and, you know, try to find more root cause solutions. But if you're feeling good and you're gaining benefit from this, either whether it be socially or eventually monetarily, then why not? You know, just mm-hmm. it's fun. Have some fun and yes. don't worry too much. I'd like to switch this over. So I'm really glad we got to bring the gaming into it, because I figured that mm-hmm. would probably be something we talk about, because I think that is such a no-brainer bridge for bringing Bitcoin into the minds of so many young people, because it's such a huge part of young people's lives. No, it seems like no matter the generation, my generation, your generation, it's going to continue to be a thing. It's going to become more of a thing in the future. So I mm-hmm. do think that, you know, the people saying like, oh, video games are bad, we should just stop video games, like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we should just learn mm-hmm. to accept it and infuse the Bitcoin standard into it to help these people onboard, because it would be such a great way to do that, natural way to do that.
Yeah.
Another aspect that I think would be good to talk about would be the social media side, because you mentioned you originally started learning about some of these things on TikTok, and that is the most popular social media app for young people, I assume, right? Is that even above Instagram at this point?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know now. Like, there was a big spike when it was, for sure. But then there's a lot of limitations now, like with the government and how something was happening with other countries.
Yeah.
They're starting to try to limit it. So now it's like settled down a little bit more. I think it is, though, still. I think it still is over top of Instagram. I don't know. What were you saying?
I was going to ask, what do you think about, I guess we'll start with TikTok specifically. Do you find good Bitcoin content on there? Do you think that they generally mm-hmm. let it through, or does the censorship stop that sort of thing from getting through to people since it's too much truth?
I don't think that censorship is stopping it. I know it can stop it on other stuff a lot, like YouTube has a lot of censorship problems. But I think the thing on TikTok is the censorship is all the people that use it. If all the people that are perfectly fine with how they live are not liking the content, people who need it won't see it. You get what I mean? It has to be like, the thing with social media is there's no multiple sides. I mean, I know everybody can be into something else, but in terms of when stuff gets views and gets out to other people, there's one view base. You get what I mean? Like one group of videos that are popular. Like, I don't really know. Like, there's probably some professionals that see this and can, like, say the words better, that, like, know how it works. Because it's kind of like working with, like, think about if you had to work with one person and how much they like. You'll have to group 100 million people into that one person and split out everything equally. If only the first 10,000 people that see something don't like it, all the other people, 990,000 people, are not going to see it at all. Like, it won't get out. So, with that being said, it's going to be, like, that's the censorship itself. It's not really the TikTok censor, like, stopping it from getting out. It's that people don't need it, and a lot of people don't want it. There's probably going to be a little bit that is going to censor it and, like, keep it away, because once people learn about that, they're going to change their morals, and social media is evil, kind of. Like, they can get at kids and get them to put money in and get them to, like, train their eyes and only need that. That's actually, like, I know some people at school that'll proudly show their 9 hours in a day on Instagram and be like, look at how much time I have. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, and, like, that's not even counting they're in school. Like, they show it, and somehow they stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning scrolling on their phone. They wake up 3 hours later and are like, I'm gonna go back on my phone and scroll on it. And, like, I don't, that part of it's bad, but yeah, it's like they treat everybody as one person and group the perfect videos, like the perfect thing that'll get that age group engaged get to them, because it's a community that, like, brings it together and finds the perfect video. If somebody likes it, it gets liked, and then it gets put to the next person. If everybody's not needing a new monetary system / Bitcoin, it won't get out yet. But with time, eventually it will, for sure. Like, let's just say, like, lots of stuff goes viral, like, oh, did you know you can put this in a microwave and it tastes delicious? If everybody's like, this is really cool, this helps a lot, this makes the way of life easier, it's going to get really viral and everybody's going to see it. Perfect. Like, if everybody sees some new invention that's like a new broom or a new, I don't even know, a new dog toy or, like, unlimited things, it has its very good beneficial ways of spreading stuff. But when it comes to switching money from away from your government, which they hold so much power and control over all these medias, I don't know how soon we are before it goes mainstream to switching. It will happen, though, because that's going to be the way. It's going to switch over media, social media, before it does over the government, for sure. Unless the government really does have the ties and they're holding it back, but we'll know that for sure, as we're already Bitcoiners. We'll figure that out. But yeah, I think
we're ahead of the game, baby. We watch things from a different level than the rest.
Yeah, yeah. We'll find out. As soon as something big happens and they censor something, we'll find out. But yeah, I think as soon as all these maybe next two generations, like me and then like the middle schoolers and then all the kids in elementary school start growing up, I know kids that get their phones at like 6 years old now. Sounds so absurd. I got my phone at when I got into middle school, but that's because I was playing sports. And I did not, the big thing with me, I was not addicted to my phone ever in my whole life. I'm definitely on it now and more than I was before. Like, I would always like to go outside, and that's just how I was raised. So I don't know if it's a good idea for kids to get phones at an early age unless they're morally okay and ready to, because it's really just up to how they were raised, and everybody matures differently. I matured definitely a lot differently. Like, I matured socially before everybody else did, and that wasn't because of Bitcoin. That was just kind of how I am. If I'm going to be honest, that was, like, bad. I matured too early socially, and then it, like, took a hit. Like, I wouldn't get to go hang out with people because whatever they were doing, I would think was stupid. It's going to sound kind of, like, nerdy, but, like, sometimes I just wouldn't want to do that, or I wouldn't have interest in going and trying to smoke or going and trying to do that. Like, would I when I'm older? Yeah, like, I don't care. You have to be with the right people, but, like, I was trying to hang out with the wrong people, and that, like, kind of took a hit. And I wasn't always on my phone. I'm not always on social media. I don't post at all. Like, I don't post myself to get, validation from other people. That's a big thing people do now, is they post and, like, just try to get validation and try to, like, how do I say this? I guess validation is the best word. They just want to feel needed by other people. They want to feel liked by other people. And I kind of grew out of that really early. And that was probably because of wrestling, I would say. Like, the main thing with wrestling, I would go, and, like, people found out I'm wrestling in, like, sixth grade. They're like, Ben, you're gay. You touch other people. Because, like, when a person that has never played sports before, that was sixth grade, before people played football and stuff and respected hard work, the people were just bashing at me. And then I was working so hard with that, learning proof of work without even realizing it. I really didn't want to be on my phone. I didn't want to go do certain, like, I still wanted to mess around. I would still go, like, break some rules at a shopping place and go have fun at the mall. Like, go play hide and go seek tag in Macy's at the mall with my friends. Like, I remember that was, like, one of my best memories ever, knocking over a tower of stuff and getting yelled at, having to pick it up. But still, like I was still interested in doing fun stuff, but it was like the petty stuff that was like really irrelevant, that didn't actually give you any like gaining, that I didn't like to do. Like I was like, oh, why don't, like in seventh grade, this is gonna sound so funny and everybody's gonna laugh at this. Like that was when everybody realized boys like girls. Like it's more than just a friendship. It was like sixth and seventh grade and people were like, I have my girlfriend, and they would walk with them holding hands in the hallways, and I was like, huh, that's pretty cool. I was like, I want a girlfriend, that sounds cool. And like my friends were like, you gotta start posting and taking pictures of yourself and posting it online. And I was like, I don't want to do that, that's weird. I was like, never comfortable with that, and I still not comfortable with that, because you don't need that. But everybody was saying that, and that was like the expectation. So if you weren't doing that, you wouldn't get what everybody else had. But my like maturity point was realizing I don't want what everybody else has, because what they have is really equal to nothing. It's like owning fiat and being like, I like, that's like winning a small lottery and saying I'm set for life. A small lottery, like if you earn a few $100,000 and you're like, I'm set, I'm done with everything, I'm gonna be perfectly fine, they go and spend it all, and then they're done, and then they're even worse than they were before because they thought they had something which they didn't. And that kind of all ties back into the social media. Now that everybody has their phone, that's the central point of everything. It's like a whole nother, like the games. Social media is a whole nother universe of thinking. Like some people make their money off of social media. Some people lose their money on social media. Some people waste all their time on social media, like seriously waste it. Like some people are really, really depressed and like it's sad, but they're really stuck on that. And it's evil how it can keep them on there because they don't have their own strength to get off of it. But I'm done yapping about that. You get what I mean? It has a big effect on kids, adults, on everybody. Like it has its good sides, its extreme bad, and then its median middle, depending on how well you're doing at the moment. It's going to have an effect, and Bitcoin's definitely going to have an effect on all of that as soon as people realize that it can help them. And when they want help, it'll start going. But you have to wait for that majority of people to shift. Without it, plus the censorship, it's not going to get out on social media. And there's no way to really change that yet. We're just going to have to wait. Only time will tell, and only broke people will tell when people want money and want value. That's going to be what tells. You get what I mean?
Absolutely. Totally agree with that, man. I love your passion on this because, you know, I talk about this sort of thing a lot on the podcast, but it's usually from sort of a third person view looking on a Gen Z generation. But the fact that you're within it and seeing all these things happening really speaks to your maturity, which is super cool. So good for you on that, and good to your mom for raising you well, because this is important stuff. You know, this is the Gen Z generation. This is the future. You know, and so many people are falling into these traps that are being intentionally laid out to get people sucked into these unhealthy habits. And the social media algorithms that are, you know, like you said, they're designed to keep people addicted to them. And one of the really darker things I've been learning about recently, have you heard of the show Cocomelon?
Yeah.
Basically, it's this TV show that's on YouTube, I believe, so it's available for everyone. It has billions and billions of views. It's one of the most popular TV shows for like babies and infants, for children, for very young children, and parents who, you know, are too stressed out because of inflation and their fiat money and their fiat job, unable to support their family, they will stuff an iPad in front of their baby's face or their little kid, you know, at a younger and younger age, like you said, and they'll go find Cocomelon. And this TV show has been designed to be as addicting as possible to that young brain. It's just looking for dopamine hits. And it has lots of really bright colors and bright sounds and quick cuts and all these things put together. And they literally have a laboratory in their studio where they have kids, you know, watch the screen. And in the second they look away, they take notes like, oh, they weren't addicted enough. We need to change this scene. So there's more colors, more sound. And parents are finding that when they take these things away from their kids, they are having legitimate withdrawal symptoms, and they're having temper tantrums just because they're losing their screen. And we're seeing this at different levels through all these younger generations. And, you know, the question is, how do we fix this in a way that makes this technology a really powerful tool that it can be without bringing these people down? How can we help it raise people's consciousness without suppressing it and getting people stuck in these tailspins? And one of the things that we talked about before we started recording was Noster, which is something I'm extremely excited about. And I know you're a busy guy going through school, and you've only sort of tiptoed into it a little bit, but I'm really hopeful that that will play a part in this, and will be interesting to see where it is in a few years from now, because that is a very new view of social media and communication online. And I think that it could potentially be like the Bitcoin of the communication sphere in a social media, because it is decentralizing it out. It's breaking up the big tech censorship paradigm, and it's giving people control over what they see. And it also has Bitcoin integrated, so people can actually share sats with each other. And all of a sudden you have this real value layer where there's no longer all these bots and likes and fake engagement
linked
around
to the real world. Like, you know, I talk about realities a lot. I don't want to sound like a crazy person, but like whenever
we're all crazy here, I only hang out with crazy people, dude.
Yeah. I think crazy people are the normal people. Like, yeah, a big thing people say a lot at my age is bots. They say, you're a bot. And I'm like, because people call me that sometimes, because I'll walk around reading a book and they'll be like, you're a bot. And that's like a way of saying that you're a normal, like, no, they say NPC. That's like, I actually hate when I get called that. That's one of those things. Like, I hate the word eel, like bad, like disgusting. I hate those words, and I also hate when people call people NPCs. Like, I feel like it's such a deteriorating word. That's like I think of that as like a slur. Like, that's how much it like hurts when people call me that or call other people that. They say you're less than me because you're acting like the normal person. You're not enough to be on the same level as I am. And all the people that say that are all the people that do the same exact stuff. They like do the exact same stuff. And I think I've talked about this with my mom a lot when I used to have social issues. Like, I would be like upset because I didn't get to go out with somebody because this one kid didn't want me to. And I would be like, what the heck? And then they would call me NPCs. I don't wear expensive shoes. Like, now people respect it and know me by how I am. And like, I'm doing pretty well now. I found the right friends that don't care about those things. But like, I've been wearing these tennis shoes. I have really wide feet. This is kind of funny, but I have wide feet, and I've been wearing the same branded tennis shoe for like 4 years now. Like, of course, new shoes like every few months for wrestling and stuff, but like, they're comfortable on my feet. I like them. But that's like, people make fun of it all the time. Like, if I ever get in like a little argument, like a fun argument, they'll bring up how I dress or what I wear, and I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? You just copy exactly what you see online. A lot of people have security in being like other people, but they don't learn and realize what they're being a part of isn't right or isn't what they actually want. You get what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, and I can absolutely assure you, as someone who's been through, the same path, where I always did things a little differently. I've always been a weird dude. And every single year it gets easier, and it eventually gets to a point where you are suddenly the man, you know, because people realize that you don't care about what anyone else thinks. And like, I would say right now in your teen years is where you're at the absolute peak of all the actual, you know, quote unquote NPCs just reflecting that back at you when they don't understand that you've actually risen above this already. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say just keep doing your thing, man, because you're clearly seeing the bigger picture here. And I can promise you that like your respect level and your trust level among your peers, not to mention the Bitcoin thing, the fact that you've been the crazy Bitcoiner in the group, and we're going to see what that does in the next few years. Like, you won't even be, you know, 20 years old yet. I think that the Bitcoin is going to be, you know, significantly different than what we see today. And the folks are going to realize, oh man, we should listen to Ben. These Bens always just get this stuff, man.
Yeah. Bens have it. Most of the Bens. Yeah. I have like people, I wouldn't say people dig at it. And there's also I'll say what people think of whenever I talk about it. Like, the people on my age, my classmates, my friends, some people say, Ben, I don't care about your Bitcoin, even when I'm not talking to them. Like, my school is a small school. We don't have school fights. We don't really have that much drama. It's a charter school, so it's still funded by the state, but it's not a private school. And they have a little bit more leniency to, like, they can pick how they want their education to be a little bit. But we're a smaller school. We don't have big sports programs because it's the educational school. We only get money for education, no sports, because we're a charter school. And it's very boring. Like, everybody's trying to get out of the school and go to a big 4,000-kid high school. My school is a middle school and a high school on the same, like, property connected. And there's only, like, 900 kids with both of them. So there's, like, 100 kids a grade, 150, I think, something like that. And then there's schools that have 1,000 kids per grade, like 700 kids per grade in my area. Like, and everybody's wanting to switch schools and go be with all the cool kids, which I mean, like, that could be beneficial, but so much distraction and like scary stuff. Like, it's
pretty similar for me. My entire high school was 350. I think my class was like 65 or something like that. So definitely a small school. And there are pros and cons to school size, I would say, when you're growing up. And I'm not even sure what you think of these new methods of education coming out, like homeschooling is definitely taking off. There's all sorts of different methods out there for different types of paths that we can take people. But I think that's going to become a bigger and bigger question, is like, what is the best way? And I know you're in the middle of it right now. I won't drill you on like which one you think is the best because you're going through your own path. But I will say that there's a lot of interesting things to learn about that on the education side as well. And the way that Bitcoin will fit into that will be quite interesting because it will change the incentives of the higher ups that control the educational system. So that will be quite interesting to say the least. And I would say even a lot of the school curriculums will have certain information passed down that is probably a big part of what you're seeing in these other people who are saying, oh, you're crazy for, you know, talking about Bitcoin and, you know, we don't care about this stuff. We're just going to continue consuming these needless things and following the same path. I'm very interested in following your journey in the next coming years because you're definitely on the path of waking up to a lot of things that people around you are not. So I would definitely say continue doing what you're doing, man. Don't ever let those people get you down, which it sounds like you're not. You've got a great head on your shoulders and just really, really proud of you for doing this, man. And you're on an excellent path. And yeah, we just hit an hour, dude. I think we should try to keep this one fairly short for the Gen Z folks out there who are, as we talked about, they're looking for a little bit quicker content so we can start wrapping this up. But
yeah,
why don't you give your message to the people out there in your age group, the Gen Zers of the world? Why should they begin learning about Bitcoin and start consuming content like this? Because this is something I've talked about in previous episodes before. You know, you see all these young kids walking around all over the place with their headphones on, but you just know that they're listening to some music or something, and they could be just switching to a Bitcoin podcast. It's so easy. It's so simple to do. Or they, instead of watching, you know, whatever the time wasting things on YouTube are these days. I used to watch these like fail army, like just these long reels of people like falling off and stuff. And I thought it was so funny. What if we just have people watch, you know, Bitcoin videos? Like, what is your message to these people who are so close and there's so little friction to learning about Bitcoin, why they should?
Okay. So this is going to be kind of deep. It's going to have a lot of meaning to it. 'Cause that's kind of how I think of stuff and a lot of different layers of thinking. Like, you can't jump to go read this book. I don't explain stuff like that. I'm going to say, first thing you have to do is learn what you think you want, not what you like want to do, not what you want to have, but what you like genuinely want. How do you want to be emotionally? Like, how do you want to feel in next week? How do you want to feel in 6 months? How do you want to feel in a year? How do you want to feel in 10 years? Whether you want to be married, whether you want to be doing crazy stuff, whether you want to live a chill life and work at McDonald's, like, what do you think you want? I would say you have to start to try to figure that out. And then you're going to have to want to figure out, how can you get there? Like, can you get there reasonably? Is it something like, I want to have $1 trillion next year? You can say that. How do you want to get there? Like, there's no way you can actually do that. But let's just say it's a more realistic goal. Like, I want to be happy. So a lot of times people feel like they can't do what they want. I think if we fix the money, you can fix the world. Everybody, all the Bitcoiners know that statement. But I think that really, really has a difference and can affect people's lives. And I think a lot of people need guidance. Like, think of like a counselor, right? Bitcoin is kind of like a counselor. If you start learning about Bitcoin, which you're going to want to have a reason to, if you want to get somewhere in life, whether it's emotionally, physically, mentally, or like, yeah, socially, when I say social stuff, that means money. If you can afford to go out and eat and pay for the table, that's social wealth. You're doing better socially. I don't mean socially as in you're a cooler person, you can like act a certain way. I mean, like, you're genuinely a better person than everybody else, and you don't have the stress and worry of not being able to get what you want. And that's what I mean by socially, like, healthy. Like, I want to be able to take my kids and their friends out on vacation and go enjoy life. That's kind of my goal. I want to be able to help other people. I'm going to need some sort of value to do that. I'm going to need to figure out a way to, like, make that value and so I can give it back. But people need to figure out what they want and then how they're going to get there. I think Bitcoin is going to be the best option for anybody. Unless you have too much money, which then even then you'll learn your value in Bitcoin. Like, because, like, there's some people that have, let's just say, parents that have $100 billion. They don't ever have to work for their whole life, ever. It's just not going to happen. They don't have to do anything for their whole life. They can sit in their room and do absolutely nothing, and they won't be happy. Like, there's a lot of, they won't be happy. You get what I mean? Even somebody that has too much money, too much value, they don't have any value in their money. They could wipe their nose with $100 bills and they'll be fine. You get what I mean? Or there's people that could get a dollar and be very happy, or people in poorer countries. I think Bitcoin is going to be there for both the high, the low, and obviously the medium to help them understand value in time and money. Have a better time preference. You'll learn that with Bitcoin. Have a better understanding of what your time does for, like, the investment of your life, what you want. You're going to be able to balance how much dopamine you want versus how much of that serotonin you want, the rewarding feeling. Of course, the serotonin you're going to have to work for, but ultimately that's kind of a better feeling. Like, maybe more fun to go hop on the game, but with Bitcoin, you're going to feel like be able to have more control in your life of what you want to do now, what you want later, what you want in a long time. You can be able to make decisions better off with Bitcoin and investing your what you do into Bitcoin. Learning it, learning about how it works, learning about how to eat healthy. Like, after you realize what you want, I want to be successful when I grow up, just a common statement, you're going to realize you have to be mentally healthy to be able to be disciplined to make money, right? To get mentally healthy, you're going to have to figure out how to do that. Like, there's a lot of different opinions. There's a lot of professionals that can say that. Like, do this, do that. Meditate every morning. You're going to have to figure out what you want to do so that you can, like, trust yourself. You're going to want to trust yourself of, like, oh, I can say I want to film a podcast once a week, right? But if you're not mentally healthy and you don't feel like doing it 1 week, so you don't, that's not going to help you with your goal. You have to be mentally ready, and then you can start working on it. You have to have a plan, a goal, and I'm going to keep saying this. It goes all the way back to Bitcoin. If you're investing your money in Bitcoin and learning about it, you're going to learn about proof of work and time preference. So only things you really need to. Everything else will come into your life naturally, or you'll be able to make it happen. A lot of people say you have to make it happen. You have to start now. Put your foot down. Do what you want to do. Fix your relationship. Fix this. If you're not mentally ready to do that and understanding of the world and how it works, and you're stuck in a fiat mind, you won't be able to do what you want. It just won't happen. You can try. It's like asking somebody who works at McDonald's or a fast food restaurant, hey, save up for $100,000 to buy your dream Porsche. You can save up $100,000 working at McDonald's. It's going to take 40 years living in your mom's basement. But, like, you can do that. You're going to have to figure out kind of, like, how you value stuff. That's just going to be how Bitcoin works. Like, I know I'm yapping. I'm saying the same stuff. I want to really stick of what I'm thinking into all your viewers and you yourself. Like, you're going to want to change your concepts of time, reality, value, and energy. Kind of like in a big math equation or some crazy physics person. And it all comes together, and you have to create your own balance of life. Some people say, I run 10 miles every morning. David Goggins. He runs and does the most crazy work, and I don't even think he was at peace of mind. He was doing most of that to prove a point, but let's just say he was. He runs all that to stay healthy and stay proud of himself. That keeps him up high. A lot of people wouldn't like that. It'll wear them out. Like, I got burnt out wrestling, but I learned a lot. I won't talk about that. Doesn't matter. I can talk another time. But you're going to have to learn where your stable point is for your own brain, and you can shape it around whatever you want. And again, Bitcoin is going to help with that. Just got to learn how to learn and be yourself. Have fun. Don't be afraid to get, for the kids, don't be afraid to get in a little bit of trouble. Take risks, whether it's having fun with your friends or taking a risk, investing into something, investing your time. and just kind of learn, keep learning, keep learning, and don't do what other people do. If a lot of people are doing it, a lot of people, and it's something weird, don't do it. It's either too late or, like, just find your own thing. Like, be yourself. Like, learn. Like, I know so much more than all my friends do about general life just because I learned, and I feel like I have good morals. I hold myself accountable. Like, I'm proud that I will never treat somebody bad. Like, that's something I am very proud of and something I like to hold up. Like, I'm going to help other people whenever I can. I'll always help my friends, whether they'll help me or not. Like, that's what I struggle with. I struggle with finding good friends. But as long as I hold that moral, I'm always going to help somebody else, whether they help me or not, and try to get good people in my life. It'll just come naturally, or I'll have the social wealth to be able to make it happen and go move somewhere or live with people I want to live with, whether it's a wife or business partners or, like, anything. That's the end of it. I'm done yapping it on. But, like, you probably understand what I mean. It's that combination of learning, preserving your wealth, your time, your energy. And Bitcoin's going to get you away from that fiat money, which is making us all slaves of the government. It's making us slaves of anything that has power over us. You know what I mean? Okay, that's it.
So good, man. Yeah, money doesn't buy happiness, but it does buy freedom, which allows you to find what truly makes you happy. I think that is the main takeaway that I totally agree with. And Bitcoin does this, and nobody deserves this bright future full of freedom and ability to do what you want to do more than your generation, Gen Z. Because I think that when I look at the generation to generation differences, I think that I'm happy with my millennial generation. I believe that we did a pretty good job stopping, or we're at least passionate and we really care about stopping the fiat train that I would say the generations older than us, mainly the baby boomers, sorry, boomers, love you. But that the people in power during that 1971 era of creating this money printer system started this train in the wrong direction, and the millennials are stopping it. But Gen Z is, you're the ones that are going to pick up the torch and run with it, run with Bitcoin and eventually hopefully Nostr and all these other extremely cool solutions that are going to give you more freedom to live a wonderful, beautiful life and not have to face all this hardship that we see in the world right now out there. And it could happen quick, and there could be some chaotic times during that transition, as I'm sure you know. It's going to be a weird several years, which is why, you know, the social side is so important. And you mentioned the social wealth, which I'm super happy you mentioned that, because that matters too, like building your network, getting the right people around you, and even just finding the right podcast to listen to. You don't even need to be in-person friends anymore. You can actually find great influences with great information that will help lead you and guide you the right direction by diving into podcasts and just curating your content in a different way where you're following the right things and getting rid of the junk on your TikTok or your Instagram that is just eye candy that you isn't making you better. I think that's a great first step. Anyone can go do that and go through their follow list and just switch it up to be some things that invigorate you and motivate you to be better and be stronger and have a better life, you know? Totally agree with all that, man. It's been such a pleasure talking with you today, Ben. Really appreciate you coming by. Gen Z for BTC on X. Is there anywhere else people can follow you, or is that the main for now?
That's the main for now. And if anybody wants to message me, talk, or help, or anything, you can. My mom also runs the account, so you don't have to be worried about the underage thing. I always have to say that. Because a lot of people, it's reasonably to be worried that, like, if some dude messaged me, they would be like, it's kind of weird, messaging a kid. Never have to worry about that. My mom helps me with everything. Always. She always checks my emails. She checks stuff. Helps me. My mom helps a lot. I love my mom. My mom was on Nostr. She was walking by grabbing a snack and was like, I'm on Nostr. You know, I was like,
amazing.
No way. Pretty funny. She's moms in Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. I need to write. I think I actually recognize that name. I'll have to make sure I'm following her because she's doing amazing work. Shout out to her. Killing it. And man, I'll keep an eye out for more from you. I really look forward to following along your story, and we'll stay in touch for sure. My pleasure, my friend. And we'll be in touch, and we'll do it again sometime. Okay.
Gotta hop on the game sometime. Sometime.
Yes. It'll happen. I'm gonna dust off. I'm gonna dust it off. We're gonna stream some games sometime. You mark my words.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take all your stats. All right. I'll see you later, man. Great talking to you.
See you later. Thank you so much for having me on.